And the final case this morning that we will hear is Nopick and Greenwood versus Hahn. We'll let the room clear again. Thank you. You may proceed.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Charles Mays from Grand Island. I represent the appellant, Douglas B. Hahn. I assume we have consolidated the two cases for argument.
Yes.
I told the counsel I didn't want to repeat myself.
Well, the facts are similar, right?
Actually, the facts are intertwined.
Right.
And it would be superfluous to go through two separate. I'm not going to dwell on the facts too much, Your Honor, because I think there's not a lot of dispute in the facts. We know that Mr. Hahn was walking his dog late evening, early night time. He and his dog was on a leash. He was approached by a dog belonging to Ms. Nopick and Mr. Greenwood. It was a German Shepherd. The dog was not on a leash. Situations evolved from there. There was verbal altercation between both Ms. Nopick and Mr. Hahn, and Mr. Greenwood and Mr. Hahn. There was nothing physical between Ms. Nopick and Mr. Hahn. There is evidence that there was, at the very least, Mr. Hahn grabbing the shirt of Mr. Greenwood. I would point out that at the time, neighbors also happened to be an American sheriff, albeit he was on duty at the time. He was present during the whole proceeding. I think what this case boils down to is the definition of course of conduct.
So just to back up one moment, so after this confrontation, or if you will, between Mr. Hahn and your, excuse me, between Ms. Nopick and Mr. Greenwood and your client, then those two individuals filed for a harassment protection order.
Yeah, separately.
Separately, and that's what you were referring to, two cases that we have consolidated here. But just, again, for purposes of the background, then the court did give the plaintiffs, Mr. Nopick and Ms. Nopick and Mr. Greenwood, a harassment protection order, which lasts a year.
Correct.
And so you're here today to explain to us why that should not have been entered and asking us to vacate that order.
Correct.
And so the statute tells us what justifies the issuance of a harassment protection order?
The district court is authorized to issue a protection order, harassment protection order, if a person engages, and this is 28.311.02, 105, 09, and 10, if the person engages in knowing willful course of conduct directed at a specific person which seriously terrifies, threatens, or intimidates the person with serves no legitimate purpose. And then it goes on to define course of conduct means a pattern of conduct composed of a series of acts over whatever period of time.
And so it's your contention, as I understand it, that we don't have a course of conduct because we don't have a series of acts.
And we don't, Your Honor. The record's clear that this is the only altercation these parties ever had. Nothing prior. And I do want the court to note that Ms. Nopick did not apply for the protection order until 12 days after the incident.
Why is that significant?
Well, usually if you're really intimidated by something, you're going to do something right away. But she didn't. Mr. Greenwood didn't apply until 19 days after the incident. He didn't apply for it until the state. So, and as you look at the application, which are part of the record, there's no indication that anything took place between the 14th and the time they filed. And usually,
conduct a series of acts. But then the statute goes on to say it can be a short period of time. And here we had, I think the evidence showed maybe 10 or 15 minutes that this incident took place over.
10 or 15 minutes, both total, two parts.
But isn't it possible that there could be a series of acts in a short period of time like that?
But
that
I don't
would
think.
Seriously threaten or intimidate someone?
Well, but I don't think that's what the legislature intended. And I think it's Richardson versus Florida case, which is 8:15, 7:41. That court goes through the kind of recitation of the legislative intent of the statute, which is it was basically set up to prevent the stalking offenses and prevent people from being willfully harassed, being intentionally terrified, threatened, or intimidated by people who intentionally follow, detain, stalk, or harass for any purpose, or restrain them by letting them. Well, we don't have that in this case. We know we still don't do it. But I think it's important because I know who the counsel is going to argue that a reasonable person would have felt threatened. However, I think we need to note that the county sheriff is present during this whole thing. He never intervened except to tell Mr. Hahn to knock it off, which Mr. Hahn actually complies with immediately. Mr. Greenwood testified that he felt like his fiancée was being threatened. However, he never intervened. He didn't step between them. He didn't do anything. I think there's a real problem with saying there's a course of conduct here that rises to the level that the legislature actually intended to cover under this statute. We have the criminal statutes in play. I think we're opening ourselves up for, we say that a situation like this, you can go out and get a protection order. In every possible confrontation between people, that means that protection order is available.
So your client's been ordered to stay away from these folks?
That's
because
correct.
Of the protection order.
That's good.
What's the difficulty with that for your client?
They live next door to each other.
Okay. But they don't have to talk to each other.
And there's no evidence that has happened. At least from the time of the incident to the time of the filing, nothing happened.
So, I mean, there's no question he engaged in some angry, disruptive behavior. So what's the real problem here with regard to having a protection order entered against you if you just don't talk to the people for a year?
Well, it goes to Central City is a small town. It goes to perceptions in the community. You become under the microscope, so to speak. You're held in a negative light. And it can affect your business relationships, affect your personal relationships.
So there's some collateral damage that can occur as a result of the protection.
And rightfully so, if actually should be put in place. It's designed to protect the future profits. And there was no evidence on the record that suggests that there was going to be a problem. There was no threats of physical harm at the time or the future other than when he grabbed Mr. Greenwood by the...
Well, he punched him.
That's what Mr. Greenwood said. They also said he was rude, but they didn't really present any physical evidence of that. So.
And your client denied that there was any punching?
Denied there was any... Well, we deny it. He did not testify at the trial. There was a criminal case pending at the time. So, any other questions? I'll reserve the rest of my time for you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Paul Clark. I represent Abby Kanopic and her fiancé, Lance Greenwood. I believe Mr. Nazer's recitation of the issue in this case is correct, that we are here to examine what the statute means when it defines a course of conduct. The statute in Nebraska defines a course of conduct as a pattern of conduct composed of a series of acts over a period of time, however short, evidencing continuity of purpose. I believe that the real focus of this appeal is that clause, however short, because I think it's extremely important. As this court has noted in reviewing harassment protection orders and other cases before, that it gives statutory language its plain and ordinary meaning and will not resort to interpretation to ascertain the meaning of statutory words, which are plain, direct.
But in this case, Mr. Clark, doesn't the statute specifically tell us what the intent of the legislature was when it enacted this particular sentence? And that is to protect victims from willful harassment, from being intentionally terrified, threatened, or intimidated, or from people who intentionally follow, detain, stalk, or harass them, or impose restraint on their personal liberty. So we have to read the statute in full, right? So as we look at course of conduct, however short, we still have to keep in mind what's specifically stated here as to the intent of the statute.
Absolutely. And I think in that recitation of the things which the statute is designed to address, each of those things is a separate item. Intentional harassment, stalking, other conduct that is specifically mentioned within the statute. All you have to have is one of those things in order for the statute to apply.
Isn't this just one incident where, you know, some dogs came together and tempers flared and then it was over? I mean, was it that one incident, not a series of incidents?
I disagree that it was one incident, and so did the district court in Merritt County, specifically in its ruling on the hearing following the issuance of the ex parte ruling, after hearing evidence from Ms. Knopfing and Mr. Greenberg. The court found that there was a course of conduct because of the individual acts that Mr. Hahn took of escalating aggressiveness during this period of time. And I'd like to address that specifically. The district court of Merritt County found that the course of conduct consisted of this. The argument between Ms. Knopfing and Mr. Hahn that initiated on a public sidewalk with Ms. Knopfing standing in her yard with her dog, Mr. Hahn standing on the public sidewalk with his dog. Ms. Knopfing then, after the verbal altercation, which included profanity and the name calling of Ms. Knopfing, turned to disengage from Mr. Hahn and walked back toward the house. Mr. Hahn then made a choice. He took another action, by stepping off of the public sidewalk and into the yard to follow Ms. Knopfing and continue the tirade. So when I say that it's very important to look at that, however short, clause within the definition of the course of conduct, what the legislature has done is eliminated the need for a victim to show a pattern of behavior across weeks or days or even hours. It specifically says, however short, a moment.
So someone gets mad, they blow up at you, they pause, they yell again. That's, you're saying this becomes a series of incidences?
It becomes a series of incidences in this particular case because it wasn't simply repeating the same action in between different pauses. It was increasing aggressiveness, increasing action, leaving the public sidewalk to go into the yard to continue to assault verbally Ms. Knopfing, disengaging from Ms. Knopfing when Mr. Greenwood spoke up to defend his fiancée, rushing over to Mr. Greenwood, and then grabbing Mr. Greenwood and punching him according to Mr. Greenwood's testimony.
How does that become a pattern of conduct? I mean, even as you describe it, the conduct is changing. It's, you know, flowing from the initial interaction into something that's escalating. How does that represent a pattern of conduct?
I don't think that in reading the statute, pattern of conduct needs to necessarily means the repetition of the same conduct over and over. Rather, it is specific that it is a series of actions, and I believe that those actions can be disparate actions. And in this case, they were disparate actions. They were decisions that Mr. Hahn made throughout the course of this 20 minutes or so to increase the level of engagement, to increase the level of aggressiveness, separated by those moments of decision that he had to make a choice during.
So people can just, your position is people should just go get a protection order when they have a big disagreement with somebody that escalates in the way that this case did, that was the purpose of the legislature creating the statute?
My position is that if someone honestly believes that they have been purposely, intentionally harassed, which was supported by the testimony of both Ms. Anonymous and Mr. Greenwood, that they can't apply to the order for a protection order.
And isn't the protection order designed to prohibit future similar acts?
Absolutely.
And was there, at the conclusion of this engagement, was there any threats made by Mr. Hahn for future acts?
No, there were no specific threats made. However, I would submit that one of the reasons that nothing has happened is that there is a protection order in place, which is exactly what the purpose of the protection order is.
Mr. Clark, just backing up a minute and kind of going back to a question that was asked earlier. The statute again says it is the intent of the legislature to enact laws dealing with stalking offenses which will protect victims, and then it gives the list of things that it will protect them from. Now, nobody, I think, on the opposing counsel, nobody's contended that the acts that were that happened were acceptable in a civilized society, and Mr. Mazur made a reference that perhaps there was criminal charges brought as a result of it. But tell me how your clients are victims of a stalking offense.
I believe, Your Honor, that the statute was designed to prevent them from becoming victims of stalking offenses. It should be the position of the court, based on the legislative intent, to allow the use of these harassment protection orders before a stalking event, a series of stalking events, happens. That's exactly what the prevention is designed for in the statute, to prevent this from becoming recurrent. I think it would be dangerous for this court to decide that the stalking has to happen first before the protection order can be put in place. Rather, because there was purposeful, intentional harassment, the protection order is necessary to prevent that stalking offense to occur in the future. It's being proactive. There are no further questions from the court. I'll move that.
I think we're finished. Thank you. How much time does Mr. Mazur have remaining? Very well.
I'm not going to take the entire minute and a half. I think the analysis that we've just gone through is appropriate. The legislature has been very clear on the purpose of this statute. There is no pattern here. It was a one-time occurrence over a short period of time. Now, Mr. Clark said 20 minutes. The record is clear that this, both instances took place over 10 to 15 minutes, not 20. There's no way to divide that up between one and the other. It's incumbent, when you issue a protection order, that you show a pattern. We have no pattern. Argument escalated, but it was still the same argument that started out on the sidewalk. It didn't change. And that's what I think the court did not take into consideration, and that's why we're asking the court, notwithstanding the fact that this protection order is going to expire in less than 2 months, to vacate the judge's order. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you both, counsel. You are excused, and your case is submitted. That does complete our oral arguments for the day, but as I mentioned earlier, we're going to pull our chairs